Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We bring in our good friend Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN, to Morning Drive here. Greg, what's going on, brother?
Hey, boys. Hey, Adam. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Greg. How are you?
Hanging in here in I'm in Santa Clara County and in California, which is it feels like we've been dealing with this for maybe like 2 weeks longer than most of the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Just because of the measures they took early on, and they were the first ones to ban mass gatherings and stuff like that. So I feel like our stores have had no toilet paper for a little bit longer. That's the way it seems, at least.
Greg, how have you gone about practicing social distancing?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, first of all, like I was mentioning, the county and is one of the ones in California that has the, what is it called, the shelter to leave, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. That's been enacted for about a week now or so. And so, I mean, you know, basically you're stuck in your house for most of the day outside of running out for groceries and pharmacy stuff and things like that. So, I work from home anyway. It's kind of surreal, and I think in some ways Adam can probably profess this too. It's kind of surreal to see people discovering the joy and pain of working from home when I've been doing it for about 13 years now.
Yes, I can relate.
Right. So, in that sense, it's been kind of interesting to see how people are reacting. But my wife is also obviously working from home. She works for Apple. And they closed their building a couple of weeks ago to most employees. So we've just luckily we've got a two bedroom apartment. so she's in one room banging away on a keyboard. I'm in the other room banging away on a keyboard, and it's been all right so far.
Greg, obviously there's so much uncertainty with all of this as a society, much less in sports as well. But just kind of thinking about the fact that really a week ago was when this started to happen. With the NBA, the Rudy Gobert situation, the next day the NHL responds and suspends their season as well. First off, it's hard to believe that's only been a week ago. And secondly, at the time, like when that happened, I was pretty optimistic that whether it was mid-April or late April, maybe early May, at some point the NHL season was going to resume and we were going to see hockey played again this season. As this week has gone on, I've become less and less sure about that. What's your opinion? How realistic do you think it is that the NHL does not finish this season?
I mean, first of all, it's hard to put a percentage on it because it really isn't up to the NHL to finish the season.
Right.
The things that have to happen are the local governments and local authorities have to lift the restrictions on mass gatherings. I understand why the NHL would want to finish its season. I don't think that it is prudent for them to do so with empty arenas. I think it's kind of counteractive. Like the proposals that are floating around, especially one that was publicized from players yesterday, are designed to maximize the revenue for the rest of the season if they get an opportunity to do so. And, the amount of money that you're leaving on the table in concessions and parking and everything else, if you do this in front of empty buildings, I just don't see it being a path forward. So if they're still not allowed to put fans in the building, at any point in the next 4 months, I mean, it's hard for me to envision than having a season. And then, you know, when you start to consider the travel situations, you know, restrictions today on the ability of people to cross the Canadian border, for example, there's a lot that has to happen to create an environment where the NHL can even conceive coming back. And that's why a lot of these other leagues around the world and here in the in North America, the minor leagues like the ECHL and the Southern Professional Hockey League have just flat out canceled their seasons because they just don't see a pathway back. And they certainly don't have the financial wherewithal to continue to pause their season like the NHL can, because the NHL is the only hockey league in the world. It's a $5 billion business. So I still think there's a chance they can come back. But in talking to at least one medical group for an NHL team, I mean, as this thing started last week, they were already saying it's not going to be any time until after June 1st. So the idea that it was going to be May or you know, end of April or something, I think was a bit of a pipe dream.
Greg, your co-host on the Puck Soup podcast and my colleague at The Athletic, Sean McIndoe, had a story the other day where he was looking at all the potential playoff formats he could come up with, from the most sensible to the most bizarre. In my opinion, we were talking about this earlier, Robbie and I would do I would expand the playoff field to 10 teams, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, a one-game play-in similar to the Major League wild card game. If you were in charge of determining the playoff format, if the league were to come back, how would you do it?
Yeah, we wrote about that on Monday as well, and the play-in game thing's interesting to me only because I'm such a huge fan of expanding the playoff field right now with play-in games or play-in series, that the idea that you could Trojan horse that idea into a crisis situation like this and have people be like, man, that's fun, let's keep doing that, kind of intrigues me. like it would be beneficial, I think, for those of us who want the playoffs to be expanded in a 32-team league to have this be sort of a proof of concept season for it. But, you know, I think at this point, the concept and the notion is going to just simply be, what can we do to get this thing done as quickly as possible? I think equity goes out the window. I think fairness probably goes out the window. I think at the end of the day, the only thing that you could do is take what's already happened in the season, take the teams based on points percentage, and seed them in the playoffs, one, you know, in each conference, the traditional way that you do, 16 teams, 8 in each, and just go by points percentage. And then, you know, then you get into the conversation of, well, how much runway do we have to complete the playoffs? You know, do we go to 5-game series in the first 2 rounds? Do we drop it down to even like a 3-game series in some cases? I am not a fan of trying to finish this season and having it dramatically impact the timing of next season. I just don't think that makes any sense. So the easiest thing to do is to kind of compress this thing as much as you can, and play-in games and play-in series might just push this thing out even further.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN joining us here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Greg, it appeared to be only a matter of time before an NHL player tested positive for coronavirus, and the Ottawa Senators announced last night that indeed one of their players has tested positive for coronavirus. We saw the other day the league made the decision to allow players to return to their home countries or off-season homes instead of quarantining or self-isolating in their NHL cities. When you consider those two things, I mean, it seems likely that at the absolute earliest that the season probably wouldn't even consider being resumed until May. What is your sense of when you think the absolute earliest that we could see the NHL again, if it does indeed return?
Yeah, I mean, that's 2 months from now, I think, is the earliest, just because of the timeline that the NHL has laid out to its players. You know, that's, again, like, I think that's sort of your wait-and-see, reevaluate type deal. It's like when you know, a guy gets an injury and he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, and then we reevaluate after that. Well, we're going to do that with the season. You know, we're going to reevaluate after 8 weeks, see where we are, and then maybe, you know, either move forward or push it out farther. But 8 weeks would seem to be kind of the bare minimum insofar as consideration of when to resurrect the season. The Senators came through Santa Clara County on their most recent road trip. I know there's been people trying to figure out exactly where the exposure could have happened. But, I mean, the thing is about the San Jose Sharks is that the recommendation was made by the county to not have mass gatherings. It wasn't at first an outright ban like it ultimately became. But the Sharks played three home games after that recommendation, and the Ottawa Senators were one of those games. So, you know, I'm not playing forensic pathologist here or anything, but you kind of connect the dots on where this thing could have occurred for the Senators when they came through California.
Greg, last thing for you here, just for the sake of argument, saying the NHL does return at some point this season, like how long do the players need to get ready? Like, you know, we mentioned when we talked about the lockout in 2013, you know, they needed a week training camp to get ready and just went right into it. But a lot of those guys were playing hockey before that. In other leagues, they were practicing, they were skating, doing all these things. It's a little bit different of a situation this time around. How much time do you think the players would need to get back into playing shape without risking, you know, injury once they get back in playing what we assume would be a very compressed schedule at that point?
Yeah, I mean, they're working out on their own right now as best they can. I imagine that once we start to see restrictions lifted in some places on people being able to leave their homes, we'll start to see them hit the rinks on their own and do informal skates. A couple of things about the players' health and safety in this situation. First, my colleague Emily Kaplan has reported that, you know, no matter what format they choose with regards to finishing the regular season or the postseason, there's going to have to be a mini camp. The NHLPA is pretty adamant about that. How long that mini camp is, we'll see. But there's clearly going to be some portion of time when these guys get back just to skate, just to get familiar with each other and to get back in playing shape. The other thing to consider, too, is that no matter what format the NHL wants for its regular season and postseason, the CBA mandates that the players sign off on it. So there's not going to be some situation where the NHL is trying to cram too many games into a week and maybe risking the health of guys that haven't been playing hockey for the last two and a half months. The PA is going to have, if not final say, at least equal say in what format they choose. So they're going to be able to kind of determine what format works best for them with the acknowledgement that they haven't really been all that active in a hockey perspective for the last couple of months.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Greg, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it as always.
You got it, boys. Stay safe.
You too. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. What should the NHL do if and when they're able to return this season? What format should they take? Should they go straight into the playoffs or should they finish the regular season? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vinyan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vinyan from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN for joining us in the last segment. And we talked about some potential playoff formats with Greg should the NHL return at any point and finish out this season. We also talked about the possibility that may not be feasible to finish out this season. So going to be a lot of things that are still up in the air and out of the control of the NHL as we move forward here. But for the sake of this discussion, Adam, let's just say the NHL does come back. And let's say it's, you know, sometime in June, maybe even July, before they're really able to dive headfirst into the playoffs. What kind of format do you think they should take in terms of should they finish the regular season? Should they go right into the playoffs? If they go right into the playoffs, how do you go about doing that? Who gets in? All of these are interesting questions. I think the NHL has a tough job of trying to figure out which is the best route to take.
Yeah. As we were talking about earlier in the show, I personally believe that the regular season should be over. I just think that the fewer teams that the NHL can deal with at this time, the better. So as I was talking about with
Greg, that's a really good point.
I think what I was talking about with Greg and what we talked about earlier is I think you have a 10-team field in each conference. You have the 7th seed play the 10th seed and the 8th seed play the 9th seed. In a one-game playoff, similar to the MLB wildcard game, the winners get in, and you continue the playoffs as normal. Whether you know, perhaps you can shorten some of the series. For example, maybe you make the first round 5 games instead of 7, or you make the first 2 rounds 5 games instead of 7. But you have 10 teams make it, and then you tell the other 11 teams that didn't make it, you know, Have a nice offseason.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I think the fewer teams that the Predators, that the NHL can deal with, the better in this situation. So if that means, you know, cutting off the regular season, taking 16 teams, taking 20 teams, whatever, and just worrying about them and starting the playoffs that way, I think would make their jobs slightly easier.
Frank Saravalli of TSN had some interesting thoughts that came out yesterday about extending the season maybe into August, heck, maybe into September. Here's what he had to say about that.
In these uncertain times, how could we find a way to potentially create some certainty here for the players? And one way to do that, the idea that they've proposed, is to open training camps at some point in July. Then play regular season games, potentially enough games to formulate the playoffs, and have enough teams play the same number of games as also warm-up games for teams that are going to be in the playoffs. Then start those playoffs in early August, have the Stanley Cup awarded by late September, and then begin a 3 to 4 week transition period in which you conduct the draft and free agency in October, followed by the start of a full 82-game regular season that would, of course, be on a condensed schedule starting then in November. Now, this is something that's making its way to the NHLPA, and at that point, they're hoping that they could present something like this to the NHL, where I'm told they're ready and willing to consider any and all options at this point. The NHL is certainly not in a position to be closing the door on just about anything at this point.
So, Adam, what do we make of the players kind of throwing an idea out there of, heck, fire this thing back up in July, maybe even have the playoffs start, get into August, maybe even September before the Stanley Cup is awarded, then have free agency right after that in October, the draft in October, and move into next season in November? To me, I think that's pretty far-fetched. I don't know how much good in the long term that really serves the league. I like thinking outside of the box. I like coming up with different ideas of how to handle this situation. Obviously, nobody has experience in handling this situation that's happening in our country right now. But I don't know how I feel. I just don't know if extending the playoffs all the way into September is a very good idea for the NHL.
And I think Greg made a good point when we spoke to him about it benefits the players to have as many games as possible because it means they get more of the revenue.
Sure.
And I don't pretend to be a financial expert whatsoever, but the fewer games there are, the less money the players are going to get.
Right.
Even though they are being paid through the remainder of the regular season at the regular intervals as if it were a regular season, I guess. Yeah, I just the idea of having the NHL season extended until September and then starting again in November, we were talking about this earlier. I think if you're the NHL, you want the 2020-2021 season to be as normal as possible. And if it starts in November and you want to get it done in June, because remember what's happening in June of 2021, there's an expansion draft.
Yeah.
With Seattle coming into the league, if you want to have a normal offseason schedule in 2021, that means you would have to condense the schedule next season significantly, which means a lot more back-to-backs.
I mean, that you'd have to cut down the games, one
of
the two.
Either cut down the games or have back-to-backs pretty much every other game. And that, I think, is a detriment to the players. That's a lot more travel. It's a lot more wear and tear on their bodies, the potential for injuries. So I think for this season, they need to do whatever they can to make sure that next season is not disrupted in any way. And if that means shortening the season or having the playoffs and finishing it, I mean, even if the playoffs go into late June, let's say the Stanley Cup was awarded in late June instead of early June, and you move the draft a little bit or you move free agency a little bit, I think that's fine. But having it go into August and September, I just... You know, the NHL is probably, as Greg said, is probably open to any and all things at this point, but it just makes no sense to me to have the schedule go until that month.
Nate from Nashville texts in and says, how long would teams need to be notified in advance to get ready? I saw where the American Airlines Center melted their ice to conserve energy when the ice isn't being used.
They indeed did do that.
They did do that. So that's the other part. You know, how long? I think most NHL teams have just kind of conceded the fact at this point that it ain't going to happen before May. So right now, like you, like in the case of Dallas, you're not going to need your ice in April. I'm all about saving as much energy as you want to save. But I, as far as how long they would need, I mean, I think if you're the players or an NHL team to get ready, building availability, that's going to be key as well. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to need a couple of weeks at least to really plan this out and see what your schedule would look like at that point.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of it's a logistical nightmare.
It is.
Let's just put it that way.
And you have to cross-reference it with the NBA, too. So that's the other part of this as well. Let's go to Lee, who wants to weigh in on this topic. Lee, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, thanks, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
This is nothing but a money grab, this idea the players have put forward. Maybe they're using it as sort of a starting point to bargain, but I would never go to a hockey game in August. It's ridiculous. I think it's just greedy. That's my feeling.
Hey, thanks for the call, Lee. Certainly, I think money's a big part of it.
Because,
I mean, that's really the driving force behind it when you're the players, because you're trying to get as much money out of the situation and as much money, you know, in terms of playing the games as you can get. Now, they may have to, at some point, if this continues to move along in this direction, you may have to, at some point, if you're a player, just realize the fact that playing this season may not happen. Like, and I think, look, we're not there yet. Obviously, a lot of things are still up in the air, and there's a lot that could change as we move forward here, and we're all hoping it changes in a positive direction in the right way. But there's a chance they may not play this season. They may have to come to a decision at some point where it just is not feasible and doesn't make sense to try to get this season in. And I didn't feel that way last week. I thought we'd eventually be back. I don't feel as strongly about that in terms of the NBA and the NHL returning now as I did last week.
Greg Wyshynski tweeted yesterday, quote, "This NHL's players' plan to finish the 2019-20 season would, in theory, A, save their butts from a mountainous escrow hit through revenue generated by regular season games and sold-out playoff games, and B, would force the cancellation of the 2021 All-Star game. Quite the players' plan." So I think
they're not a huge fan of the All-Star
game. Yeah, I don't see. I mean, I agree in theory with what Lee is saying. I just think that the player, and understandably so, the players want to recoup as much of their money as they can. And if that, I just don't see it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I agree with him. I'm not sure I want to be seeing hockey games in August either.
Well, the other part, like if you go under this premise of maybe the Stanley Cup final getting played in September, look, let's be honest here. It's already hard to generate a ton of ratings for the Stanley Cup final anyway, just because the NBA finals are going on at the same time. Now, they have done a good job of the NBA and the NHL alternating days when they play in the finals. So if the finals going on at the same time, the NBA finals will be on one night, the Stanley Cup final will be on the next night, and I love that part. But if you're the NHL in September trying to play your Stanley Cup final and the beginning of the NFL season is starting up and Tom Brady's playing his first game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a lot of people are going to be paying attention to the NFL at that point, and I think it becomes harder to get people to view your product at that point too. I don't know how much the NHL would take that into consideration, but I think it's certainly something you got to think about from that aspect as well.
Oh, for sure. You know, there really isn't much happening in the sports world in August. Really, it's just
preseason football.
Preseason football and the Major League pennant race.
Yeah. MLS going on.
Yeah, but for me, August is the one month of the year where I don't have to pay attention to sports if I don't want to. So I will choose not to pay attention to sports. And also, selfishly, I had a honeymoon plan for mid to late July. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go on it now. And I don't want to have to, you know, I want to be able to go on my honeymoon, darn it.
Yeah, mine's in August. I'm going. It doesn't matter. I've already paid for it, so, like, I'm going. If
there
they're back
go.
In August, that's fine, but I'm going. When we come back, Michael Irvin, former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Hall of Famer, had some very interesting comments regarding DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien with the Houston Texans. We'll listen to those next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vinken here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vinken from The Athletic. And Adam, we've been talking all week just about this crazy trade the Houston Texans made, sending DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals along with a fourth-round pick in exchange for David Johnson, a second-round pick, and a 2021 fourth-rounder, which a lot of people have talked about, if not being the worst trade of all time, maybe up there in terms of top five NFL worst trades in history. And we haven't even seen how it's played out on the field yet, and people have just made that conclusion.
Huh.
Michael Irvin, and I agree with him. I think it's an awful trade. Michael Irvin, former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, Hall of Famer, was on Get Up talking about DeAndre Hopkins and a conversation he had with DeAndre Hopkins. And there were some interesting comments made by Michael Irvin. Here's what he had to say.
I got on the phone with him right after I heard about this trade, and I tried to pull it out of him, like, what happened? What happened here, man? There's no way they give away one of the best receivers in the NFL for a ham sandwich like they did. And he kept the high road on it. He said, Michael, you know, I'm just happy about where I'm going, and that's it. He left it there. But, of course, you know, I couldn't rest my mind on it. I called him again 24 hours later, like late yesterday, and then he was willing to talk more. And I said, tell me what happened in Houston. And he went into it. He told me, he said, Michael, it was a bit of a power struggle there because Coach O'Brien thought he had too much influence over the locker room. He called DeAndre Hopkins in a meeting to talk about this and to kind of, I guess, hash it out. In that meeting, he started the meeting with telling DeAndre Hopkins this that blew my mind when DeAndre told me this. He told DeAndre Hopkins, hey, the last time I had to have a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez. I was like, what? He put in Aaron Hernandez in this meeting? He said, yes, he did. He said, Michael, that blew my mind that he would even bring that up. I've never been in any trouble. I don't know why would he equate me with Aaron Hernandez. And from there, the meeting just deteriorated. You know, he got into talking about DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Hopkins has a few kids and from different women. And he said, you know, he told DeAndre he doesn't like that he has his baby mamas around sometimes. And from that, I think the relationship just went bad. And thus, we got a trade of DeAndre Hopkins from Houston for basically, like I said earlier, a ham sandwich, all because of that relationship.
If that is true, and Bill O'Brien was equating DeAndre Hopkins to Aaron Hernandez, could you look like any more of a jackass if you're Bill O'Brien after this?
Can you say that on the air?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I'm learning. I'm going to start saying that next time.
Okay.
Just limit it, Adam. Yeah, he already said limit. It, so don't
it's
just
a,
next
it's
time.
It's one per show.
All right, fine.
That is unbelievable. And look, obviously we have not heard Bill O'Brien's side to this story, but I will say, you know, we've been kind of waiting for the second shoe to drop in all of this in determining, okay, like why, if you're Bill O'Brien, would you ever make a trade like that, sending arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL to the Arizona Cardinals for, as Michael Irvin termed it there, a ham sandwich?
Ham sandwich is pretty good.
I was about good. To say, not to...
It depends on what you put on it.
Not to diminish the comments that Bill O'Brien allegedly made, according to DeAndre Hopkins, but what does Michael Irvin have against ham sandwiches?
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, ham sandwiches are not my personal favorite, but I can get down on some ham every once in a while.
Yeah, no, there's no question. That's disrespectful under Michael Irvin's part right there.
Yeah.
But the point remains, like, if that's what happened, I guess that would make sense in terms of the relationship deteriorating and him at that point making a decision to trade him, but it still doesn't make it, from a football perspective, any less stupid. Like, your team is right there with the Titans. And Joe and I were talking a couple days ago about how heading into this free agency season, you know, we basically felt like it was a two-team race in the AFC South, Houston and the Titans. Indy did not have Phillip Rivers as their quarterback yet at that point. The Jaguars had just traded Calais Campbell away, I think, the day before. So we felt like the Jaguars were pretty much out of it, and certainly feel the same way now. And now that Houston has made this move and has taken DeAndre Hopkins out of the fold, I mean, we had Floyd Reese on yesterday. He said, you know, however many times the Titans have played DeAndre Hopkins, they still hadn't covered him. I mean, he's just destroyed the Titans in his career. This is just such a baffling move from a football perspective. And if what Michael Irvin said on Get Up is true, that DeAndre Hopkins told him that Bill O'Brien essentially compared him and some of the decisions he was making to Aaron Hernandez. I can't imagine much of a worse look for Bill O'Brien in this situation.
No, those are some allegedly charged comments by Bill O'Brien. We know what happened with Aaron Hernandez. And by the way, as we are social distancing, if you haven't seen the documentary on Netflix about Aaron Hernandez, I suggest you watch it if you're looking for your sports fix. Anyway, of course, we would like to hear from Bill O'Brien in this scenario. I doubt we will. It might behoove him to do so, just so that he doesn't look like the bad guy here. But, you know, I do find the structure of the Texans front office to be interesting. And I know it's more prevalent in football than perhaps any other sport. But the idea of, you know, being a coach and a general manager, especially because Bill O'Brien, I believe Bill Belichick also has personnel control, correct?
Yes.
I mean,
but that's Bill Belichick. It's a little bit different.
He's Bill Belichick. I mean, what has Bill O'Brien done in the NFL? I mean, he's won division titles, but would you consider Bill O'Brien a successful NFL coach? I mean, maybe.
To a degree, not anywhere near where, like, you're bending over backwards if you're an ownership group. That's what I haven't been able to figure out. Like, how is it that Bill O'Brien has achieved this much power with the Houston Texans?
Failing upward, my friend.
Yeah, like, I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. Like, I think he does a decent job on game day. Now, there have been a few decisions on game days that have just been baffling in what he's been able to do. But just why you would ever let, in today's NFL, outside of Bill Belichick, a coach make both coaching decisions, have the final say there, and also roster decisions, which basically means he's holding the general manager title and the head coaching title at the same time. It just doesn't work. Like, it works for Bill Belichick. He got to that point after like 25 years in the league. Like, it just does not work. And I can't for the life of me figure out why the Houston Texans have allowed this to happen.
Now, I know David Johnson has had some great seasons, but is he as bad as a ham sandwich?
Now, I mean, at the end of last year, he couldn't even step on the field. I mean, Kenyon Drake basically took his job in Arizona. And you're right. I mean, David Johnson has been good. He had one really good season. And really, ever since then, I mean, he's been a decent player, but he hasn't been great. And in order to justify making that trade and sending DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona, David Johnson has to come in and just light it up. Like, he's got to be the best back in the league, I think, to make this work. And do I have any confidence whatsoever that David Johnson is going to do that? No, absolutely not.
And when you consider what the Minnesota Vikings were able to acquire for Stephon Diggs, and then you look at what DeAndre Hopkins fetched the Houston Texans, that makes it look even worse, because DeAndre Hopkins is a better wide receiver than Stephon Diggs, who is a great wide receiver, but he is not as good as DeAndre Hopkins. So that also reflects poorly on Bill O'Brien, who also was not able to acquire a first-round draft pick for Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
So not looking so great over there, Bill. Not great, Bill.
No, I mean, Diggs got traded to Buffalo for a first-rounder, a fifth-rounder, a sixth-rounder, and a fourth-rounder next year.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's three picks this draft.
This draft. One next draft. And if you're the Houston Texans, not only did you trade DeAndre Hopkins, you sent a fourth-rounder of your own to Arizona, got David Johnson, and took on the entirety of David Johnson's contract, and then get back a second-round pick and a 2021 fourth-rounder next year. That's why I say, I mean, just on paper, this may go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. And those comments that Michael Irvin made on Get Up, if Bill O'Brien, if that's what happened between him and DeAndre Hopkins, and that's what led to like the deterioration of the relationship there, number one, it's stupid. Like, why are you even bringing stuff like that up if you're Bill O'Brien with your best player? The other part of this is, like, what's going through Deshaun Watson's head right now? Because you just took away his best weapon, his security blanket down the field. He's been a guy The connection between Watson and Hopkins has been otherworldly. They've been insane to watch together. Now that's gone. And all of a sudden you got your head coach like making comments like this to your best player, allegedly. Like, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm thinking, what am I getting myself into here with the Houston Texans?
Did they sign Randall Cobb, right?
They did sign Randall Cobb.
Yes, so now who's their number one receiver? Will Fuller?
I guess Will Fuller when he's healthy.
Yes, but like, that's
Will
the problem.
Fuller, he misses half the year every
that's
year.
What I'm saying, is that he's a solid deep threat, but he gets hurt a lot, as my fantasy team can tell you.
Yes.
So, you know, Deshaun Watson, you know, I have to imagine he's not thrilled. If I'm Kyler Murray, though, I'm ecstatic. I can imagine that connection will be ripping up the NFC West for a little while.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts of the day on Tom Brady heading to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll also continue this discussion surrounding Bill O'Brien, DeAndre Hopkins, and the Houston Texans. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game will no longer be at the Walmart at 3600 Mallory Lane in Franklin today from 10 to 6, but we are still accepting donations for Pencil to Give to the schools that were severely affected by the tornado. To donate, go to give.classy.org/thegame4schools. That's the number 4. Again, that's give.classy.org/thegame4schools. Our communities are tough, and we will come out of this disaster stronger than ever before. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Final segment of the show wrapping up here. We were discussing the situation going on between DeAndre Hopkins, Bill O'Brien, and some comments made by Michael Irvin on Get Up earlier today, where Irvin said that DeAndre Hopkins told him that in a meeting, Bill O'Brien essentially compared him to Aaron Hernandez with some of the behaviors that he was displaying, including having children with multiple women. So this is obviously some very strong words coming out that Michael Irvin has put out there that he's heard from DeAndre Hopkins allegedly talking about Bill O'Brien. And look, we've been analyzing this trade all week long in terms of just how stupid it was for the Houston Texans. If this was the driving force behind it, Bill O'Brien needs to be fired. I mean, there's really no other way to say it than that. If this is the driving force behind you trading your best player, if you're Texans ownership and you don't fire Bill O'Brien after that, like, I don't know what you're waiting for. Like, this is just to have this happen and to allow a relationship to devolve to the point where you trade your best player for essentially nothing. Again, if these comments are true, if I'm the owner in Houston, I've got to make a move at that point.
Yeah, and that would make, well, it would probably be an improvement, but it would be a major disruption for the Texans in the sense that they're firing their head coach and their general manager. It's not just one or the other. But I imagine many people who are fans of the Houston Texans would be thrilled to no longer have
Bill
O'Brien.
He's not a very popular guy there.
No. If there was something that could make the Houston Astros look better, it's Bill O'Brien. When it comes to Houston sports, I would really be interested to see what the legs are for this. I mean, it's basically secondhand information because Michael Irvin is telling us what DeAndre Hopkins apparently told him. So I would like to hear from Bill O'Brien. Now, will that happen? Probably not. But it might be in his best interest to get out in front of this, if possible.
Yeah, like, and look, I don't know what he's going to say. Like, if that's true, like, I don't know how you're going to convince people that it's not. If it's not true, I would be out there, if I'm Bill O'Brien, heavily denying this, because there's obviously not going to be a way that you can prove it, I guess, unless you were in that room as the discussion was going on. But certainly just a strange, strange story in Houston. It's been strange all week to try to figure out what's been the root cause of why they would trade DeAndre Hopkins. If indeed this is it, I mean, that organization is headed for some dark times ahead, because you just can't have your coach and your general manager doing things like that and expect to go anywhere on the field. So going to be interesting to continue to monitor that situation going on in Houston. Tom Brady expected to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. I think it's a great fit for him on the field. the talent at the wide receiver position, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. We've talked to some people today about maybe the possibility of Antonio Brown going there as well. Ian Rapoport of NFL Network reported earlier today that Brady wanted to know what the possibility of that would be with some of the teams he was interested in. I would be very hesitant if I'm an NFL team, even if Tom Brady wants it, being like, are we really going to bring Antonio Brown in his present state into our building after everything we've seen transpire with Antonio Brown over the course of the last year? I'm staying as far away from that guy as I can possibly stay, but I do understand the appeal of what that could look like for the Bucs on the field. When you have Evans and Godwin already, you add Antonio Brown to that list just from a talent standpoint. That's pretty hard to cover if you're a defense of any caliber in the NFL.
It certainly is, and as we talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, as a Saints fan, that fills me with great dread, the idea of having to cover Chris Godwin and Mike Evans with Tom Brady and potentially throwing in Antonio Brown. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. If you were sick of the Cleveland Browns by the time the NFL season started last year, you're in for a real treat with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this summer because it's going to be even worse.
It is. And look, this hype train is just kind of beginning here. I am interested to see what the expectations are going to be from a national standpoint for the Bucs now that they're expected to sign Tom Brady, because you're still in the division with the Saints. Drew Brees is there. That team is still loaded. They're very, very good. Alvin Kamara becoming one of the best backs in the league. Some disappointing ends to the playoffs, as Adam, you're very familiar with, the last couple years. Actually, last 3 or 4 years.
Quite familiar.
In the playoffs. Do they vault ahead of the Saints in terms of expectations? I would say no, but maybe. No. I mean, it's going to be close.
It'll be tight. And just, you know, as we discussed with Greg Aumann, earlier in the show, I mean, the Buccaneers haven't qualified for the playoffs since 2007. So just because you're adding Tom Brady, who has won 6 Super Bowls, you would expect them to go from, I believe they were 7-9 last year, to something significant. But it takes a long time. Oftentimes, the turnarounds don't happen instantaneously. So I imagine that they will definitely compete with the Saints. But, you know, bias aside, I do believe the Saints are the favorites still entering the 2020 NFL season.
It is interesting how quickly that division has gone from quarterbacks kind of being up in the air in terms of the Panthers didn't know what they were going to do. Certainly the Buccaneers didn't know what they were going to do. Now you have Brady coming in, Teddy Bridgewater signing with the Carolina Panthers as well. I mean, you've got Breeze, Brady, Bridgewater,
Matt Ryan
all in the same division. All of a sudden, those quarterbacks are looking pretty good in the NFC South.
And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm sure, will be getting a lot more nationally televised games.
I would imagine so.
I'm very curious to see how the NFL schedule, the television schedule, works out, because I'm sure there's still interest in the New England Patriots, mostly from a how will they do without Tom Brady angle, but certainly Tampa will be getting a lot more nationally televised games because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And will be interesting to see what direction the Patriots go from here in terms of their quarterback. You know, we had Karen Garigian on earlier in the show. If you missed that, we've got that up on Spotify and on iTunes as well. But it's one of those things where she said, you know, Jarrett Stidham could be a legitimate possibility to be the starter this year for the New England Patriots. If that happens, I mean, number one, you're taking a huge risk if you're Bill Belichick at that point. I would expect, and I don't know this, but we've talked about maybe Andy Dalton getting traded to the Patriots. Cam Newton's out there now as a free agent. Jameis Winston is out there as a free agent.
Jacoby Brissett,
yeah, that's an interesting one as well. I don't know what the interest from Bill Belichick would be in maybe bringing in Cam Newton or bringing in Jameis Winston. But certainly, whatever decision the Patriots make at the quarterback position, going to be interesting to follow. And I'd hate to be the guy coming in and playing quarterback for the Patriots that has to follow Tom Brady. You talk about a tough act to follow. That's about as tough as it gets in the world of sports.
Absolutely. But someone's got to do it, and it might be Jarrett Stidham. So talk about setting yourself up for failure right from the start.
No pressure, kid. Just Tom Brady's shoes to fill there. Certainly going to be interesting to monitor what happens in New England as we move forward here. That's going to do it for us today here on Morning Drive. Adam Vinion from The Athletic has been our guest host today. Adam, thanks so much for filling in, man. We appreciate it.
Robbie, I will see you at 6 p.m. on Friday for our normal show, The Smash Brothers.
That's right.
I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll talk about
something.
We'll
talk about something. There's no question about that. That's going to do it for us today here on Morning Drive. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Stay tuned for Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.